Radio Listening Society, live from the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Good evening, creeps. Please welcome to the stage your mysterious hosts, Eric, Tim, Joshua, and special ghoulish guest star, Shannon Custer.
Look out!
Welcome to the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, a podcast dedicated to suspense, crime, and horror stories from the golden age of radio. I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
I'm Joshua.
And I'm Shannon. We love mysterious old-time radio stories, but do they stand the test of time? That's what we're here to find out.
Today, we present an episode of my choosing, The Wailing Wall from Inner Sanctum Mystery, starring the big man himself, Boris Karloff.
Ooh. Boris Karloff, born William Henry Pratt, gained fame for his portrayal of Frankenstein's monster in the 1931 Universal Studio film Frankenstein, and its two sequels, Bride of Frankenstein and Son of Frankenstein. His ability to both inspire terror and elicit sympathy made him unique within the burgeoning horror genre. In addition to Frankenstein, Karloff had memorable turns in other films of the era, including The Mummy, The Black Cat, and The Old Dark House.
Karloff's distinctive yet versatile voice made him a favorite guest star during radio's golden age, particularly during the 30s and 40s when horror programs were at their zenith. Arch Obler, writer and director of Lights Out, wrote several plays for Karloff, the most notorious of which was the masterfully unsubtle Catwife. The only other program to feature Karloff as frequently as Lights Out was the series you are about to hear, Inner Sanctum Mystery.
The program was created by Hyman Brown, one of the great storytellers of the golden age of radio. Brown's career spanned 8 decades and a diverse range of genres, from his adaptation of comic strip hero Dick Tracy to his 1970s revival of radio drama, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Despite his many contributions to the medium, Brown is best remembered for one series, Inner Sanctum Mystery.
The program ran on NBC from January 1941 to October 1952 and featured one of radio's most famous openings, an organ sting, followed by a rattling doorknob. Then, the agonizingly slow opening of the world's creakiest door. According to a 1973 interview in the Pittsburgh Post, Hyman Brown copyrighted the sound, bragging, "I took that creek and made it a star. I bought several Picassos with that creek."
Inner Sanctum's other claim to fame was the host who lurked behind that creaking door, Raymond Edward Johnson, known simply as Raymond. His ghoulish jokes and horrendous puns were a technique borrowed from a genre of French theater known as Grand Guignol, which famously blended horror and comedy to create a hot and cold shower effect to shock the audience. After 4 years as host, Raymond left the program in 1945, replaced by Broadway actor Paul McGrath, known simply as Mr. Host. That same year, Lipton Tea became the sponsor of Inner Sanctum Mystery, and for a brief run of episodes, the show was co-hosted by Mary the Lipton Tea Lady. Mary's bright and chipper demeanor was a stark contrast to McGrath's morbid sense of humor, and the two quickly became one of radio's strangest comedy duos.
Inner Sanctum Mystery borrowed its name from a line of mystery novels published by Simon and Schuster, but rarely used the novels as source material. Instead, the radio series developed its own style of over-the-top storytelling fueled by improbable situations, shameless plot twists, and a liberal dose of dark humor. In a 208 article for Vox? That's probably not right. Film and television critic Charles Bermesco argues that Inner Sanctum still makes for great listening 75 years after its final broadcast. According to Bermesco, Inner Sanctum transports listeners to a horror paradigm governed by the notion that being scared should be kind of fun and kind of silly.
So with that in mind, we invite you to have some fun, laugh, maybe even cringe a little, as you listen to The Wailing Wall from Inner Sanctum Mystery, first broadcast November 6th, 1945.
It's late at night, and a chill has set in. You're alone, and the only light you see is coming from an antique radio. Listen to the sounds coming from the speaker. Listen to the music, and listen to the voices.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries, starring Boris Karloff. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you through the squeaking door into the land of ghosts, vampires, and other gay, hilarious people. Friends, are you looking for an apartment? Well, we have just the place for you. It's sturdily built, completely of marble, with cold running water every time it rains. You don't have to worry about the landlord putting you out. The lease is forever. All you have to do to get this little love nest is call your undertaker and get yourself a little bit dead.
Mr. Host, I assure you, no one is the least bit interested in your offer.
But, Mary, just think. Once you're dead, you can appear on Inner Sanctum. You know, we always have a ghost in our story, someone whose voice comes back from the grave and gives advice to our characters. Yeah, sometimes I think our theme song should be "My Mummy Done Told Me."
Well, that's very funny. But you know, Mr. Host, talking about voices coming back, that's what happened to me the other day. I heard my own voice coming back to me on the radio while I was eating breakfast.
No.
Yes. I just heard the new Lipton jingle, and then I heard myself. Yes, there I was, talking about Inner Sanctum and about Lipton tea, too.
Hmm.
You see, it was a record, an electrical transcription that I'd made, all about Lipton's brisk flavor, how Lipton's always tastes fresh and full-bodied, never wishy-washy. And you know what? There was a man on the record who talked almost like you, Mr. Host.
An imposter. I'll kill him.
Oh, it was just in fun. He made spooky remarks when I talked about Lipton tea. But I did get a chance to say that Lipton's is the largest selling brand of tea in the whole world.
All right, Mary, you've had your chance. And now make room for the creepiest voice you ever heard. The curdling kid himself, the star of stage, screen, and radio, Boris Karloff. Tonight's story is called The Wailing Wall. It's an original radio play by Milton Lewis. And you'll hear Boris Karloff in the role of Gabriel Hornell. All set, friends. And turn out the lights, curdle close to the fire, and listen. Night. And on the waterfront of downtown Manhattan, the fog creeps in like a crawling cloud. Tucked in between the towering skyscrapers, there's an old rundown mansion. An anachronism. A freak among the streamlined giants. It's the Hornell home. And tonight, leaping tongues of flame from behind the black shutters.
There it is, Johnny.
Is there anybody in that old dump?
It's an old guy lives there, owns it. Gabriel Hornell.
I hope he had sense enough to get out. That place is like a tinderbox.
Yeah, and pretty well gone. Casey, get that horse.
Hey, there is someone in there. Get the action, come on.
I'm right behind you.
What?
Get out of the way.
Help! Hurry, will you?
I knocked it up. All right, come on in.
You see anyone in there?
No, we can't stay.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, the crazy coot. He didn't even have sense enough to get out. Here, grab a short.
Yeah.
No, don't hold me.
We're just taking you out.
I don't want to go out. He ain't asking you what you want. Come on, Johnny. Before this joint collapses.
Oh, take me out. I can't leave the house.
Hornell, I hope you're feeling... Mr. Hornell? Mr. Hornell? The head nurse. And hurry. Hello? Hello, this is Nurse Hopkins on the 18th floor. Gabriel Hornell is not in his room. The window is open from the bottom. There's a letter. I know, but I'm sure he's not alive. Oh, the letter? Yes, I'll read it to you. To whom it may concern.
By the time you read this, I shall be dead. There can be no mistake this time. Death holds no fear, no terror any greater than what I've endured in life. For the past 40 years, I've searched for freedom. I hope now I've found it. Even now, as I write, I can hear her voice, calling to me as she did that night years ago. I'd prepared everything while she was in bed. Just the last few minute little details had to be completed.
Gabriel! Gabriel, do you hear me?
What do you want?
What are you doing down there?
I'm fixing something.
Well, why don't you come up? I don't want to be alone here. I can't bear to be alone. Come up, Gabriel. What's the matter with you? Why don't you answer me? Oh, you're just doing it for spite. I know you are. Stop that hammering, Gabriel. You know I can't bear that noise. Now stop it, please. Gabriel, will you stop that noise?
Oh. You came down.
Well, of course I came down. Did you expect me to lie there while all this racket was going on? Now, you know I'm a sick woman, Gabriel. What are you doing there anyhow?
You can see.
Well, yes, I can see, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, you've made a huge gaping hole in the wall. Now, what on earth did you want to do a thing like that for?
You'll find out soon enough.
And what are all those things?
Stonemason's tools, cement, plaster.
Well, I never dreamed you knew how to use them. Oh, I'm going back to bed.
No, Agnes.
No?
No.
Gabriel, that rope in your hands.
Yes. I've thought carefully about this rope, Agnes. It's the most merciful way. It leaves a little trace, since there's no blood.
Gabriel!
You won't make it difficult, will you, Agnes?
Murder?
It's the only way.
No, Gabriel.
We couldn't go on like this. Your imaginary illnesses, your constant nagging. I have to be free of them, Agnes.
But murder?
This is best for both of us.
No, Gabriel. Send me away. Do anything you want. You can get a divorce. A divorce, there, see? That would solve everything. You could have your freedom.
Stand there, Agnes. Just as you are.
I know. That other woman, Dorothy Carter, that actress. That's why you're doing this. Oh, you thought I didn't know about that, Gabriel. Well, I do. Yes, I do. No. No, let go of me. That rope. Help, help somebody.
It will be done in a minute.
Done? Oh, you'll never be free of me. As long as you live.
The cat saw everything with its yellow eyes. The cat saw me take her body to the tomb I'd made in the wall. The cat saw me place her there and carefully seal it up. I worked quickly, skillfully, with infinite care. First the bricks, one on top of the other, then the plaster. Then the wallpaper to match the rest of the room. That wasn't very difficult. In a short time, it was done. I was free. All I had to do now was to go to the police and report her missing. It was even simpler than I'd thought. I put on the coat. I was about to open the front door when I heard it for the first time. I thought it must be my imagination. I listened carefully. I rushed to the wall, put my ear to it. What I heard made icy perspiration ooze out of every pore of my body. The wail was coming from the wall. It was like the insane shriek of some creature of another world. Was she alive in there? She couldn't be. She was dead. I knew she was dead. And yet I heard her voice wailing. I could swear it was her voice. I couldn't go out as I'd planned. What if someone else should hear it? Would they go to the wall? Investigate? The doorbell. Oh, it couldn't be at this hour. It couldn't be, but... it was. Who? Oh, I had to risk everything and answer it.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Mr. Hornell.
It was Patrolman Cleary. He was the officer on the beat. He was blue with cold.
I was passing by and I saw the lights on. I peeked in the window.
You looked in?
Yes. Since you were still up, I thought I'd ring. It's pretty cold out tonight, and I'd like to warm these old bones for a minute.
Oh, yes, of course, Clary. Don't stand there in the door, man. Come in.
Thank you. I see you got your coat on, Mr. O'Neill. Just got in?
Only a few moments ago. As a matter of fact, I was going to see you.
See me?
Why, yes. It's about my wife.
Hi, something wrong?
I hope not. I was out all evening. When I got home, she was gone.
It's not like her, Mr. O'Neill.
No, it isn't.
Was she alone all evening?
Yes, at least I think she was. You know, she hasn't been feeling very well lately, and I hate to think it possible, but she may have destroyed herself.
Mrs. O'Neill? No, she wasn't the sort.
Oh, she was ill, terribly ill. I tried to keep it secret until she recovered, but the doctors knew.
Insane?
Yes. Don't you see? The river.
I'd better get back to the precinct and report this. You'd better come with me. Missing Persons Bureau will... Hey, Mr. O'Neill.
Yes?
You must be mistaken. Isn't that her?
That isn't a woman.
Of course it is. She's coming from that room there. Why, sure, it's your wife. I know her voice, and she sounds like she's in pain.
But it can't be. There's no one in that room.
But she must have come in the back way. Come, I'll show you.
No, don't go in.
What?
Nothing. No. There. You can see for yourself there's no one here.
No one. I could have sworn your wife was in this room.
Well, how'd you like to live in a house with wailing walls? Well, one thing you have to admit, things aren't so very dead in the Hornell Mansion. Or are they?
Well, all I can say is I'm glad I don't have to live in that house with that awful wailing.
Why, Mary, there's a wailing, whistling kind of noise in your house, too. The first time I heard it, I was so scared I shivered in my shroud. What?
Oh, you're talking about my whistling tea kettle. Oh, goodness, there's nothing scary about that. Now, if you'd only try Lipton tea with its wonderful brisk flavor, that whistle would sound as cheery to you as birds whistling in the morning. Especially on these chilly mornings when a cup of Lipton's just makes you feel like the sun was shining inside of you. And folks, if you want a sunny disposition, you should try relaxing with a cup of Lipton tea after a hard job like, well, maybe washing out your window curtains. Yes, and what's more, you can help your friends feel right with the world, too, by serving them Lipton tea when they come to visit you. Lipton's always taste so tangy and heartwarming, never flat or wishy-washy. Yes, that brisk flavor makes all the difference in the world.
All right, friends, we've given you a chance to warm your blood. And now we fondly hope to turn it to ice again, with the help of our star, Boris Karloff. Oh, let's hear the second act of Inner Sanctum. We continue with the strange letter left by Gabriel Hornell.
Cleary watched in silent fascination as the cat screamed and leaped against the wall. Would he notice the new wallpaper in the dim light? Suddenly, the policeman turned to me.
Yes, eh? I guess that noise is only the wind. Strange how like a wailing woman it can sound, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'll be leaving now. I guess it'll be all right for you to stay here. I'll make a report at headquarters about your wife.
It's very good of you, Cleary.
If she turns up, you let us know?
Yes, I'll let you know.
Good night, Mr. O'Neill.
Good night. He left. I locked the door and came back to the room. The room where my wife was entombed. Was she still alive inside the hollow of that wall? I listened all that night. The wailing rose to a high, insane shriek. And then, towards morning, it began to grow weaker, as though she were losing strength. And it seemed to die. The cat crept away. There was a merciful silence in the house. She was dead. She had to be by now. I sank down onto the sofa into a feverish sleep. Somewhere a bell was tolling, calling the mourners to the grave. Suddenly I sat bolt upright, shaking, trembling. Oh, I'd been dreaming. The front doorbell was ringing. It was night again. How long had I slept? The house was silent. Oh, there was nothing to fear now. I ran to the door, opened it.
Hiya, kiddo.
Dorothy.
Well, are you going to keep me out here in the cold?
No, no. Come in. Come in. I haven't been feeling well, Dorothy.
Is that why you forgot our date tonight?
I must have overslept. What time is it?
10:00.
10? I must have slept clear through the day.
Well, aren't you glad to see me?
Glad? Why, yes, it's a delightful surprise.
Well, that's more like you. Come here, kiddo. You've got the blues, but Dorothy will wipe them away. Give us a kiss. What's that?
Just the wind.
Oh, no, it can't be the wind.
This is a very old house, Dorothy. You sometimes hear strange noises.
Oh, I've never heard anything like that before. It sounds human.
Was she still alive? Even after 24 hours? Suddenly I realized that the doorbell was ringing again. There was a large pair of wooden sliding panel doors between the room that we were in and the vestibule that led to the street. I wasn't going to take any more chances.
There's someone at the door, Gabe.
Yes. You wait here, Dorothy.
What are you doing?
Closing these doors.
Why?
I'd advise you not to ask too many questions.
Evening, Mr. O'Neill.
Officer Cleary. Who are those men with you?
Hey, got something to show you, Mr. O'Neill. You'd better brace yourself. It's not going to be pleasant. All right, bring it in, boys. You can put it over there.
What? What is it?
It's a body. A woman. Just fished out of the river right near here. She can't be dead more than 24 hours.
My wife?
Hard to say. You see, the body got caught in the propeller of a boat. It's not easy to recognize it. Unless it was examined by someone who knew her very well. Like yourself, of course.
Let me see it.
Take away the burlap. Look, Miss Dunham. I know. It's pretty bad. Is it your wife?
Agnes? Yes. Yes, of course. It's her.
You're sure now?
Yes, I'm sure. Positive.
All right, boys. Take it away. You can stay here, Mr. Harnett. I'll take care of everything down at headquarters. Good night.
Good night, Cleary. Luck. Fate, whatever it is that seemed to control men's lives, was playing directly into my hands. They'd never investigate now. The nightmare was over. This time I was really free. Suddenly, the panel door opened. Dorothy was standing there, a curious smile on her lips.
I heard everything, kiddo.
You did?
So you were married.
No longer, Dorothy. My wife died. Suicide.
So I heard.
Now everything will be quite all right and we can get married in a few weeks. We'll have money, lots of money.
She left you plenty, eh?
She was very wealthy.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Nothing? I see what happens to your face when you hear that wail. Did you kill her?
What are you talking about?
Did you murder her?
You heard what he said. She was found in the river.
You can fool a dumb copper, but you can't fool Dorothy. That wail. It's queer. Awfully queer. Look at what that cat's doing, will you? Jumping up on that wall like it's gone crazy.
Yes, there's something about that wall. That's what the cat's trying to tell me. Something about the wall.
You better stay away from there, Dorothy.
I'm going to find out something.
Yeah, put
I
that book end down.
Not till I'm done with it, kiddo.
What are you doing there?
I'm going to break through that wall.
You crazy fool, stop it.
No!
Here, give me that thing.
You're too late, Gabe. I've broken a hole through, and I'm going to look.
Now you've seen.
Yes. Is it the hand? The hand of a woman. It's her. Your wife.
Yes, Dorothy.
You murdered her.
Yes.
Well, ain't you the kid?
What are you going to do about it?
What do you think? I want money. Lots of... That rope.
Yes. This rope. It leaves no telltale traces.
Oh, no, kid. Didn't you get it? It was all a joke. No, don't come any closer.
Don't scream, Dorothy. It won't do you any good.
Gabe, listen to me. I don't want a cent. Not one penny. I love you. I love you, I tell you. I'll keep your secret. I'll do anything you want. Anything. That rope. Take it away from my neck. Don't, Gabe, in the name of heaven. Don't break.
She was dead. I took her body, put it in an old trunk in the storeroom of the cellar. I had to think of some plan, some way to get rid of those bodies. In my confusion, there was only one thing that I was certain of. I must never leave the house, not even for a minute. I never did. At nights, I would sit there, listening. Then it would come, the wail in the wall. I knew that after a week she couldn't be alive. What made the wail? Plans? I thought of a thousand plans, but all of them would mean that I had to leave the house, and if I left, someone would hear the wail and find out, just as Dorothy did. Fire. Yes, fire. That would do it. The idea danced like a flame in my mind. But no. They discovered charred bones of the skeletons among the wreckage. No, it wouldn't be worth it. The only way I could be safe was to stay there in the house. I stayed. I, who had risked everything for freedom. One day, the doorbell tinkled. I opened it.
Mr. Harnell?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Crawford from the bank. May I come in?
Just in here, in the vestibule.
We've written to you a dozen times, but you've never replied.
What do you want?
Well, Mr. Harnell, you may not realize it, but you've overdrawn your account. The money your wife left is gone.
Gone? So short a time?
So short? Why, she died 40 years ago.
40? It seems only yesterday.
We've been investigating. Even the grocer who used to supply your food no longer will extend you credit.
What do you want with me? I'm not starving.
If you'd see your face, you'd realize that you are, Mr. Harnell. Now, if you'll only be reasonable, we can see to it that you get $250,000.
A quarter of a million? How?
By selling this house. It's become very valuable.
No. You get out of here. Get out.
But Mr. Harnell...
Get out!
Very well.
He was right. I was starving. That night, when I heard the wailing begin again, I came to a decision. I had spent 40 years in the house. More punishment than criminals receive who've committed even worse crimes than mine. I'd take a chance. I opened the wall I'd sealed up 40 years ago. She was still there, but the wailing continued. Why? I looked into the tomb I made for her, and then I saw it. I saw this thing that had ruined my life. It was a tiny hole in the outside wall that I'd made when I first broke it open. The wind rushed through and made that horrible wail. What was the use?
I took a match out of my pocket. I set its flame to the curtains. In a moment, the place would be an inferno. But I decided to stay. I wanted to perish with the house. In death, at least I'd be free.
But even then, freedom was denied me. They rescued me, brought me to this hospital. I had the nurse make inquiries from the police. She told me.
No, there was nothing unusual found among the ashes. Everything was burned to a fine powder.
If I had only set fire to the house 40 years ago. But no matter. The window is open. And it's 18 stories to the ground. I will soon be free.
Meow! Everybody's dead but the cat. And we overlooked him because we couldn't find him. Of course, I'm sorry that wall made such an unpleasant noise, such a tuneless wailing. We tried to teach it to whistle the new Lipton tea jingle, but we didn't have time, eh, Mary?
Now, you just stop teasing me, because I'm not going to talk about the Lipton jingle now. No, and I'm not going to talk about Lipton tea either. Instead, the Lipton people want me to remind you folks about something important. I mean the Victory Loan Drive. You know, friends, we've been buying bonds for many years now. But this drive is in some ways the most important. Because if a job is worth doing, then it's worth finishing. The bonds you buy now won't buy weapons. No, this time the money will help bring our boys home. It will also help take care of our wounded soldiers, provide them with the finest medical care in the world. And, friends, we can certainly do no less. And the victory bonds you buy now will help launch our veterans into a safe and secure post-war world, the kind of world they've been fighting for. Yes, you're helping others and yourself, too, every time you buy a victory bond. So buy all you can, won't you?
All right, friends. Until we meet at some haunted house, here's a parting thought. Don't seal your wife in a wall. That won't keep her quiet. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is Devil in the Bush by Matthew Head. Yes, and next week's Inner Sanctum story, directed by Hyman Brown and brought to you by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. Next week's story is about a man who gets hunches. His hunches are about death. He's sure he's going to be killed, but not by poison or fire or strangling. Nothing simple like that. No, our character has a nice, interesting death waiting for him. Oh, if you'd like to be in at the death, drop in next Tuesday. And now it's time to close the squeaking door, so good night. Pleasant dreams.
Folks, the colder it gets, the more we all enjoy a good hot plate of soup. And for soup with a fresh, home-cooked taste, you can't beat Lipton's noodle soup. Yes, Lipton's is blessed with a real chickeny flavor, and it's just swimming with tender golden egg noodles. But listen, Lipton noodle soup takes almost no time at all to prepare, and Lipton's is economical, too. Costs less and makes lots more than canned soups. So don't forget to try Lipton's noodle soup. And don't forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was The Wailing Wall from Inner Sanctum here on the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society podcast. Once again, I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
I'm Joshua.
And I'm Shannon.
Joshua, you brought that this week for our podcast. Why did you bring us the humming wall? Oh,
the wailing wall.
Oh, the humming wall would be much better. Yes,
it's the
A lot cheerier than the story turned out to be. no, for our live podcast, I wanted to do an episode that was a lot of fun, and I love Inner Sanctum, and I love the host and Lipton Tea Lady, and I thought they had some quality exchanges in this episode. And then you add the layer of Boris Karloff onto this, mm-hmm. and just the frantic, twist-heavy pace. And the most important thing to me is that the cat lives. Yeah,
right?
The animals always die in old-time radio. So that as soon as the cat lived, I'm like, I love this episode.
For those that are listeners, regular listeners of the podcast, the term "get to the castle" comes from that Vincent Price episode where they killed the cat.
And yeah. If you are not regularly a listener of old radio, come on down and listen to a bunch of animals die.
Yeah, right. Hey, also, if you're listening to this, we are live, this podcast from the Bryant Lake Bowl in Minneapolis, and our very, yeah! And we just sat in the dark with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
And listen to that.
Everybody check your wallet. Yeah.
And there. Our special guest is Miss Shannon Custer.
Yes. We were talking about how we would start the episode and then just leave. And I think you'd probably be fine with that. You'd just be like, perfect. I'll take a nap, order some nachos.
The cat, really great job. Outstanding.
Yeah.
But seriously, sometimes they have to make a choice, right? Is someone going to impersonate a cat? Or are we going to, you know, use...
Squeeze a live cat?
Squeeze a live cat or record sound effects. That had to have been a pre-recorded cat sound because if that was a person making those cat noises, that's the best cat impression I've ever heard in my life. That was dead on.
There were professionals in radio who just did animal sounds.
But not like that. I mean, that, Paul Frees wasn't even that good.
Professionals. That was all they did.
His parrot is so good, Paul Frees' parrot.
Yeah, it is. Imagine trying to explain that to your parents. What do you do? Animal noises.
I mean, I think one of those professionals might have been three cats in a trench coat. So much cat food with this.
I really enjoyed Mr. Host's meow at the end.
Yes.
Because it started with this level of commitment and then just petered out. He's right. Like,
right. Let's start with Mr. Host and the Lipton Tea Lady. Yeah. How many of you here live, that was the first time you heard those two together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
You're welcome, yeah.
Welcome to the weirdest thing in old-time radio. There's more episodes. It gets weirder and weirder. It occurred to me during listening to... By the way, quickly, I think I'm the only one I've discovered right before we came on that did this the regular way for podcast recording, meaning I didn't listen to this until just now on the stage. I think the rest of you all...
So yes, the rest of us did work, Eric. Yeah, exactly.
I guess we call that preparing.
Why do you out yourself like that?
If we did it that way, you'd have to like, stop, restart, I missed something.
Yeah. So I probably missed a lot of stuff. Yeah, that's like okay. Your second or third time. But this is serious. Lipton Tea Lady, it occurred to me how much she sounds like Mercedes McCambridge. No? Yeah? Anybody? Okay, moving on.
You should listen to these episodes ahead of time, Eric.
Don't you think she sounds a little...
She has a little of that quality, yeah.
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 I don't know, it wasn't anything worth bringing up, I guess.
I'm going to save you, Eric. One of the things I liked about this is it's a later episode in the Host and Mary series.
Their arc?
Yes, in their arc, because Mary laughs at his jokes a lot more than in the earlier episodes, which I think is a clear sign of Stockholm syndrome at this point. She's like,
I got the vibe like funny.
There was always an edge in the earlier ones.
There's a moment when he says, oh, I almost shivered in my shroud. And she's like, what? Oh,
like, hilarious. There's a war.
We talked before the show tonight about how this Inner Sanctum is pretty straightforward for Inner Sanctum. Mm-hmm. It's not as weird and wacky and out there as Inner Sanctum can get. This is, guy kills his wife, throws her in a wall. So that's what I got
bada
out of
bada boom,
it.
Bada bang.
Moving on. The wall hums.
I
was just waiting for wailing, and it was humming.
Yeah. I think it was specifically that to be a little nod to Poe.
Yes. There's the telltale heart is in here, and the black cat.
Yes.
Very obviously the black cat. But one of the things that's fun is it's the telltale heart if everybody could hear the heart.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and if it just was like a bad bricklaying job that caused the sound of a heart. I don't know.
I like his
everyone shows up the night you kill your wife.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, right?
I love, now this is, it's not widely known, but police officers can enter your home or look in your window if they have a search warrant or are just a little chilly. It's in the Fourth Amendment. James Madison just scrawled it in the margins.
And I think, too, that they could just bring the dead body into your house.
Fresh from the water.
Is this yours? And then you either say yay or nay.
It's like,
and then they're like, thank you.
Case closed.
Did you chip your wife? Because we can identify her that way.
I just, the whole time I was like, did they just, don't put her on the couch? Like, what are you, where did they put her? Like, what is happening?
She's just dripping on the rug and there's propeller bits falling out.
I know.
And,
yeah, I love that process.
Not, it's just a disconnected body. Apparently, this river is a very popular dumping ground, and there's a beaver family that's made a dam out of murdered spouses in this river.
At a certain point, they started referring to the body as "it." Of like, so you want to look at it?
Right.
Well, and I just think, what are they standing by the river, and then they're like, "Wait a minute, there's a guy."
Right.
That I just talked to who said he lost his wife. This has got to be it.
He's got a gurney in his living room.
Let's just bring it around the neighborhood. Ring doorbells.
Yeah, that was like the seventh house they went to. People were like, no, that wasn't me. I didn't call about the dead body.
Chuck, what was his name, by the way? I wasn't picking it up.
Officer Cleary?
No, not that guy's name. Karloff's, huh?
Not Hormel.
Not Hormel, but...
His first name, though.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, thank you. Gabriel Hormel.
Hornell.
Hornell.
See, these are the exciting things you would have discovered had you listened to the episode earlier.
So how did this end? I wasn't paying any attention.
I wanted to say that bringing the body around was the second most unbelievable part of this for me.
Mm-hmm.
The most unbelievable part was when he said, and I'll just put up wallpaper to match the rest of the house, and that's easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that.
Guy's never done wallpaper before.
Or, my favorite, she's like, we'll get a divorce. And he was like, too difficult. Yeah. I'm going to strangle you, put you in this wall, then rebuild it. See? That's easier than signing a bunch of papers. And I just...
did anyone else imagine the whole...
I'm just so happy we don't do wallpaper anymore. Such a pain. Sorry, what were you saying?
Did you imagine the hole as this just perfect... wife-shaped hole, like when Wile E. Coyote goes through a wall, or the Kool-Aid guy, and he's just...
The Kool-Aid guy!
Only it's shaped like your wife, and you just...
He just puts
put her
a
in
plant
there.
In front of it, just like...
Or he just has to stand there.
People come over, and they're like, didn't want to get the divorce, huh?
Just hangs a full-size picture of his wife in front of it.
Right. Don't. Who was the woman at the end? Just a friend that came in. That the other woman.
You
killed.
Really didn't.
You
listen.
Really no. Didn't listen.
No,
that's
she
who
came
he was
in.
Having an affair.
That's
with.
What I thought.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Sure.
I caught that
because
he's
she's an actress. So yeah.
Right,
of
they're naturally tramping.
Yeah.
Unsavory.
I'll be honest. I get really wrapped up in just the lull of Karloff's voice. Right. Yeah. It's so beautiful. I could listen to him do anything. You know. And it's just so wonderful
apparently.
To him. Yeah.
Well, he does
so good.
He totally understands the material, right?
Right.
He knows that this is just melodramatic, mm-hmm. And you need to be just earnest enough, but also be willing to embrace the absurdity of it. Mm-hmm. It's that old saying, from the sublime to the ridiculous is but a step, and he's just hopping back and forth, right. back and forth.
So good. It's so effortless from him, and it is hard, especially in this one, not always in old time radio, but in this one in particular, that step over to the Grinch now and then, right? Like every now and then you're like, his heart grew three times. But it is just, I could listen and read the phone book, right? It's just so beautiful and so well done. And radio acting is so difficult to convey all of those things. And if you can picture the performance, that's a sign of great radio acting. Mm-hmm. And you can picture everything with that guy. He's so good.
No, he carries this. It is really absurd, but he invests so much energy and so much of himself in it, mm-hmm. that you can't help but kind of like him.
Right.
Even though he's a monster.
Right.
Although I do want to bring up the idea of the just how women just had nerves. Like that was something that made them very, it was like, it's very storied. Like Mrs. Yep. Bennett had nerves, you know, yep. my nerves, you know, there were just so many, and that was basically, and in Sorry, Wrong Number. Yep. We don't
Yellow
really know what's
paper.
Wrong with her. Yellow,
yep.
I'm just really nervous, and it made her horrifying. And so on some levels, we're supposed to be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the entire,
his wife had nerves.
It's that classic old time radio trope of the hectoring hypochondriac wife who won't give her husband 5 minutes of peace to plan her murder.
Right.
Come on.
It's the harpy thing, you know, like we were supposed to justify it in our heads. There's not a lot of time in 30 minutes to set up where you believe or understand why this horrible act is being committed.
Right.
So you can either agree or disagree or sympathize or empathize, right?
Yeah, who all here agrees? She had it coming. No one.
But the point being is that you don't have time for the setup of this to find out why he's reacting this way.
Oh, all right. Then he's off.
So all it is her yelling down the stairs.
I'm going to just go on a limb and say he's a psychopath.
But that was my point, too, is it shows just how incredible Boris Karloff, you know, was as an actor, because... Yep. We get just, she basically is like, I'm nervous. Why are you hammering?
Yeah.
And he's like, and this is it. You know, I mean, it was just like, an immediate, and you believe it.
What do you think, woman? No divorce. Get in the hole.
But you really believe it. And so, yeah, it's pretty, because it's fast, you know.
But you do get to see an array of attempts to talk him out of strength. Like, no, not a divorce. I love you. Like, nah. That's the same thing as a divorce. That's
it
a lot of work.
Sounds like you just love not being strangled.
Oh, God. But I do love, too, that he's like, I've suffered a lot. I've been in the house for 40 years.
Yeah.
Like, he actually lets himself off the hook morally.
Yeah. I've had to sit in my house peacefully for 40 years.
40 that, years.
That
having
40
groceries
year was the,
brought to me.
The big Inner Sanctum twist of this one that makes me afraid in that way of like, oh, that's so weird and strange. And that someone's coming to my door with that news here pretty soon.
That's how COVID felt.
Yeah. We were talking about downstairs about, you know, when we started doing shows at the Bryant Lake Bowl 40 years ago.
You're out of money and you're starving to death, Tim.
No, I feel fine. You should see yourself.
This hurts.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it was for the censors or just a timing choice, but particularly with Dorothy, she was strangled very quickly.
Very quick.
She must have had a rope allergy or some kind of anaphylactic shock that she went into, or a really tiny neck, something, because it was just like, no, don't.
I want money, see? She just died. Yeah, that was very quick.
Yeah.
I do. This is going to. This. I'm sorry for everyone who has to go through what I'm about to say.
Buckle up.
I did at one point hear the fact of, like, you need 3 minutes of air, 3 days of water, 3 weeks of food. or you can go without air for 3 minutes, roughly, without water for 3 days. So when he was talking about, like, no, she must be dead by now, like, nah, she'd be fine. She's still got a couple days in her.
Somebody should go look at Tim's basement. Really check it out.
I've been there. You won't get past the wall of comic books.
I just love that it's like a list. Like you have it just to check every day. All I need
is... I think that in terms of if I'm on a desert island, first, water.
Water.
Well, first, air.
Air, I mean, if I don't have, sure.
Gotta get some air. I've wandered off topic.
No, that's good. That's good safety tips.
I have some others I'm not going to go into.
And one of the other reasons I chose this particular episode is not every single episode does Mary get a chance to extend her advertising prowess to chicken noodle soup.
Yes.
Which I just love that.
That's
it's
the best
so
one.
Chickeny.
It is chickeny tasting and smells chickeny.
Smells chickeny. They also say it is swimming with noodles. Now, that's not a verb I want associated with soup.
Right,
is swimming.
Right.
It's like it's infectious with flavor. It's
right.
Contaminated with nutrients.
But it, she truly
not,
almost says it's almost like soup. You know, I mean, she is about 3 seconds away from that, and then they're just like, "That'll do." You know.
Yes. Yeah, you get the idea that they're just like eat the entire can, and then like an owl, they spit the can out afterwards.
You don't want your food attached to some kind of movement as in this description.
No, there should be no choreography in the kitchen.
Your cow will be walking with flavor. That was terrible.
But it is so interesting, I think, the tonal shift with the mm-hmm. host and the...
Yeah.
And yet it worked. I mean, do you think that it was... You would know more, historically speaking. Does that just make it more... palatable for like families?
To imagine that this was just week after week of like no one stopping us.
Oh, okay.
Like
now
the
that
audience
I can relate
to. Like,
to me,
Lipton isn't stopping us.
To me, in my head, they got a sponsor. The sponsor got in control, gave them the Lipton. You know, I've been in this situation where your product is being decided and formatted by money, and so. You're going to have this woman, the Lipton tea lady, all of this. And it seems like two people or writers and a room full of people making the best of a terrible situation, right? Like, we have what? We have this woman.
How is this going
to work? Which explains the crazy segues, right?
Yeah.
Like the slam on the brakes, go 90 degrees and into soup talk. Like, how does she get
so fast.
It's so fast. But to me, it really does resonate of... let's force these square pegs into round holes and figure this out and figure out how to work together because it really isn't a nice, easy mesh. But
it does really tell you as the listener how to consume the show.
Sure.
This is very arch. It's
over the top. I would argue Mr. Host did that without the Lipton tea lady.
Well, now you can't be fooled at all. You're not going to miss it. It is not subtle. And it's extra layer of comedy to it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Right. I just imagine them sitting like, there and they're told, you have to fit this in somehow. It's a lot like the spark plug guys from Suspense, Autolite, right? It's a nightmare.
The Autolite fans!
So
yeah!
A fan for the spark plug
Joshua hates the Autolite guys.
Well, then when they bring in Johnny Plug Check, he's like, check your spark plugs too!
Yeah. But I think you're right, though, that it does set that tone that it should be fun. Because, that it as horrifying as they can be, it still should be fun. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because otherwise, this is just a story about a man ruthlessly murdering women. And what's fun about that?
Well, that's pretty much everything all the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of old-time radio. And then he's begging you to sympathize with him.
He's like,
what do I have to do? How many women do I have to murder to get the voices of all these murdered women out of my head? Maybe none?
Right.
And then he's like, they saved me. So he gets really good health care, too, on top of it.
And that's a typical excessive Inner Sanctum thing. It's like, let's open with a fire and he's going to die. No, we saved him. Never mind, he jumped out the hospital window. There's like, you could just start with jumping out the hospital window.
It's a really tall hospital, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have survived.
Yeah.
Well, check your list, Tim. Would he survive? Okay. If he drank water on the way down, he'd be
3 minutes.
Someone on the other line, when the nurse makes that call, does ask that question. Are you sure he's
are you sure
he's dead? And she's like, eh, I'm pretty sure he's not alive.
I know, she's like,
the cops are taking him house to house now.
Beat me to it. About 20 people in the neighborhood agree.
He fell right on a boat propeller. What are the odds? All right, guys. So let's. If you're new to the podcast, we customarily end our podcast with a vote on whether we deem this episode to be a classic, whether it stands the test of time, or it's something that is never worth revisiting. And often we just come up with other categories to vote to.
Yeah, but those not
are our
strict
standard ones. So I think we're ready to vote here.
Sure, I'll start the voting on this one. It's great. It's a very good episode. Boris Karloff's fantastic in this. I think for a very simple concept, which it is, it's not too bizarre or out there, or trust me, it wasn't difficult to follow regardless of some things I may have said. But I think that as far as stands the test of time, yes. Is it a classic? No, it isn't. It isn't storytelling-wise great. I think the production values were great. I think director, obviously, acting was phenomenal. So stands the test of time and very, very good. I will say this, Inner Sanctum's wacky, right? And a lot of them, you know, I just try to go along for the ride, and sometimes I go, oh, God, you're just so wacky. This is one of my top three or four of Inner Sanctums, I would say. I really enjoyed it, but that could also be because I love Karloff way too much. So that's my vote.
So to me, this is a Inner Sanctum classic, and it may speak to how low Inner Sanctum puts the bar for themselves. But if I was going to try to hook somebody on Inner Sanctum and really tell them, like, this is quintessentially, like, Inner Sanctum at its best, I would play this for them. And if they hated it, then I would say, don't even try to listen to another Inner Sanctum. So, like, to me, it's got everything. You know, Boris Karloff, Cats Who Live, the host and Mary, I just love it to death.
I love it to death.
I think it stands the test of time. I think once we get a vote, we should check with the audience to see their votes. But I think in general, it's a positive reaction. I love Inner Sanctum more and more every day. So this is nowhere near my favorite of them, because I love them. I love Inner Sanctum.
Anyways, it's like Sophie's Choice over here. Yes. All his children.
But this is amazing in it's, you know, 18 different flavors of ice cream in one bowl, and it's delicious. Because it's the Boris Karloff, it's the host, Mary, Edgar Allan Poe, all these different kinds of stories just mashed into one, and it's pretty simple, straightforward, and satisfying.
Farrell's used to call that the zoo. 18 flavors of ice cream in one bowl, and they run it out on a gurney with sirens. Me and one
body.
Person.
You said Farrell's, and I thought it was like the slang for, like, you know, the people who go wild and live in the woods.
The Farrell's.
They love that kind of dish.
Their god, Nell. I just made a Nell reference.
Wow.
Yes, it's a. I think it's classic. What do I know? I think it's great. I mean, it is. It's for all the reasons said. Boris Karloff. There's drowning, propellers, fire, home repair. It's incredible. I love that it has the host and Lipton Tea Lady. I loved it. So, yes.
One nerdy thing that you made me think of, not that you're a nerd, but...
I know, I was like...
Just looking
at
you.
As he stared at me, yes.
Give me your lunch money.
I wondered if naming her Agnes was some homage to Sorry Wrong Number, because she is Mrs. Stevenson from Sorry Wrong Number.
Absolutely.
And that was their shortcut into telling you what kind of character this is.
Yeah.
So, hey.
So, quick check, just by applause, people think, like, classic, really enjoyed it. And nobody's feelings be hurt. Did not enjoy it. Awesome. I love your taste. My feelings would have been totally hurt.
Those folks have left. They're just like...
I did hear one awkward cough when you asked that question.
All right, Tim, tell them stuff.
Hey, everyone listening in the future and here with me now, if you have a chance, go visit ghoulishdelights.com. That is the home of this podcast where it is hosted. You'll find other episodes there, hundreds of episodes. It's jaw-dropping. You'll be able to comment episodes, vote in polls, let us know what you think about these, like in your own words, not just clapping. And you will also find links to our social media stuff and to our store if you can buy some swag, because people love swag. And you will find a link to our Patreon page.
Yes, go to patreon.com/themorals, and you too can become a member of the mysterious old radio listening society. It's going to cost you, though.
Yay!
But, you know, everything of worth in life costs something,
that's
right?
True.
But if you become a patron, you get access to a lot of our bonus podcasts. Not a lot, all of them. There are a lot on the site. We have monthly Zoom happy hours where we get together with listeners and patrons from around the world. Sometimes we've had some people from New Zealand stay up till the middle of the night to yell at us and tell us to do it earlier. So please, the Patreon is what pays us, what supports everything, supports this show, in addition to you kindly buying tickets. Yes, consider becoming a patron of the podcast.
The Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society is also a theater company. We perform recreations of classic old-time radio shows and a lot of our own original work live on stage somewhere monthly, sometimes more than once a month. You can find out what we're performing, when we're performing, and where we're performing by going to ghoulishdelights.com, and you'll see all that information plus how to get tickets. And as Joshua was just talking about being a Patreon, we do film them, and that is part of your Patreon perk. You get to watch those, so you don't have to buy a ticket, but you should.
Don't tell them that.
Because, you know, you can get dinner and stuff.
True.
And get out of your house after 40 years.
You guys should really look at yourself.
What is coming up next?
Next, I didn't really prepare for this. So what we're going to do next time, we are going to listen to an episode that absolutely scarred me as a child. We'll be listening to an episode of The Shadow called Death from the Deep. Until then...
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you through the squeaking door into the land of ghosts, vampires, and other gay, hilarious people.
Well, that's very funny. Very funny. All about Lipton's brisk flavor. How Lipton's always tastes fresh, full body. Never wishy-washy. Never wishy-washy. Never wishy-washy. 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 Never, 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 never.
So scared, I shivered in my shroud.
And folks, if you want a sunny disposition, you should try relaxing with a cup of Lipton tea after a hard job like, oh, maybe washing out your window curtains. Oh, maybe washing out your window curtains. Window curtains. Window curtains. Window curtains. Victory bond you buy now will help launch our veterans into a safe and secure post-war world.
The kind of world they've been fighting for.
No.
Yes. Yes, Lipton's is blessed with a real chickeny flavor. Chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor. Never wishy-washy. Chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor, chickeny flavor. Maybe washing out your window curtains. The kind of world they've been fighting for. Forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Good night. Pleasant dreams.